Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, first half, Vinny Tortorich is hanging with us, and we get deep into some hot smoothie talk. But I think it's going to be a lot of information coming your way, especially if you're looking to be healthy and diet. First, I'll tell you about Scott's Turf Builder. Thicker lawn. You got the answer to the embarrassing thin, sparse lawns. You know, you guys are walking around your neighborhoods. You can judge the winners and the losers by what the lawn looks like, right? Let's get some Scott's Turf Builder. It's a thicker lawn, and you're going to have it, man. Turn your lawn into a thick green paradise. It's a 3-in-1 solution. Seeds to fill the gap, soil to improve root development, and fertilizer to feed the new grass and thicken the existing. Let's have some pride, people. It's up to 50% thicker. And get that lawn 50% thicker with just one application. Finally, thick green lawn you've always dreamt of. No quibble, money-back guarantee if it's not working for you, but it's going to work. So if you're not satisfied, get your money back. Get thicker, quicker. Let's get that Scott's on. This is a Scott's Yard.
Announcing the Live From Out There virtual music festival exclusively on Live by Live, featuring 4 solid weekends of live and tape performances from more than 45 artists, now running every weekend through June 7th. See exclusive performances from Keller Williams, Turquoise, Nihali, White Denim, Dispatch, Twiddle, and many more. Purchase a VIP tour pass for all weekends or individual show tickets to the Live From Out There virtual festival. Join us at livexlive.com/LFOT.
From Corolla One Studios and Gina's house and Brian's house, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, the director of The King of Staten Island, Judd Apatow. With Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and Vinny Tortorich stops by, and now, the only mandate he would comply with is to get it on. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. A choice but to get on. A mandate to get it on. Thanks for tuning in and thanks for sharing, right, Gina Grad?
That's right.
Handball, Brian.
You realize I'm not a comedian.
Vinny Tortorich is joining us. Oh, so many topics to get into with Vinny.
Hi, guys.
I'll tell you, man, first things first. If you want to eat and you want to eat healthy, the world conspires against you, as Vinny knows. It conspires against you. And I'll give you an example. I was it reminded me as I was leaving the house, I grabbed my green juice, and the green juice is cucumber, celery, spinach, lemon, kale, parsley, and it tastes like ass, right? And you know who the true smoothie king is? Mike August. He loves his smoothies, you know. And we were in Houston, and Mike said, it's $5 Friday at the Smoothie King. Let's get let's get a smoothie. And I said, Mike, we're in Houston. The place has the word king and smoothie in it. And I don't think there's going to be anything on that menu that I can ingest. And he said, there's literally 65 smoothie combinations on there. They got to have one green one. And I said, yeah, just one green, just a green one, right? And he said, yeah, there's something up there. So Max Pata jumped in the car, the rental car, and Mike announced we were making the pilgrimage to the Smoothie King. And he was pumped. He ordered the angel food. Which,
oh,
strawberries, banana, soy protein, non-fat milk, vanilla, and what, honey, and, you know, Vinny's just yacked into his cowboy boot. Okay. But then the process. So now we're at the drive-thru and we're looking down the menu and the woman is like, can I help you? And I'm like, okay, we're on the clock and I'm looking for green. I'm looking for healthy. And everything starts with banana, apple, blueberry, pineapple. And, you know, it's the green smoothie is pineapple, banana, and kale, you know, or parsley or whatever it is. And I keep saying, that's not going to work. So we say to the woman through the speaker. Is there just a green smoothie, just something that's kale or cucumber or some lemon, just a green smoothie? And she says, well, there's apple and, you know, cucumber and lemon.
A green apple.
Right. And we go, okay, can you leave out the apple? Just leave out the apple. And she's like, oh, so you want the apple smoothie, you know, lemon, whatever. And it's like, first off, people who take your order don't fucking speak English anymore. Even I'm not even talking about English as a language. I just mean they don't speak human anymore. Like you can't say to them, yes, I'll take the Garden of Eden. No apples. Like they can't process it. So we're all just sitting there. And I say to Mike, there's no way we're getting what we want. But Chris and I both attempt to get the smoothie minus the fruit.
We asked them just all vegetables. Can you just give us
just all vegetables?
Yeah.
And then at some point we screwed up and said something like no sugar or something like that. And they went, yeah, no sugar. And we pulled up to the window and they handed everyone the smoothies and I took one hit and it tasted like it was all apple. And I just set it down in the drink holder and I went, well, I knew this was going to happen, but I knew it was going to happen when I said to you, Mike, there's nothing at the Smoothie King. I'm holding up the menu, the possibilities. There's 65 offerings here. It's just none of them would be Vinny approved.
Yeah, I'm looking at the Smoothie King menu like we are, looking at it online, and they have them broken out into like different categories. And none of the categories are like, here, if you're trying to avoid sugar or if you want a vegetable blend or if you want a whatever, like that, it's not conducive to that kind of eating regimen.
Well, and they say they have a low carb smoothie, but I'm not really seeing where that applies.
So, yeah, the Muscle Ranch is got eggs in it, but that's about it. There's a lot of strawberries, bananas, wheat germ, which. Makes no sense.
Oh,
here's the thing. I want to bring this up right away. In 1985, I walked into a Smoothie King in New Orleans, and they said to me, hey, we don't put sugar in here. And I said, I see sugar there. And they said, no, that's turbinado, which I still see they have on their list. And I said, no, you don't understand. Turbinado is sugar. And they said, no, sir, you don't understand. Turbinado is pure energy. And I went, it's sugar. There's no, you know, that's one of my 65 words that means sugar whenever you see it somewhere in a label. They're actually putting granulated sugar on top of all of the other sugar, and you would be better at a Krispy Kreme.
Vinny, you'll appreciate this. I'm digging deep into their menu online. They have three they brand as Keto Champ. One, Keto Champ Berry, Keto Champ Chocolate, Keto Champ Coffee. They have 19, 18, and 14 carbs, respectively.
Look, it's crazy because, you know, the word keto is not regulated by any group or organization. The FDA doesn't regulate the word keto, just like they don't regulate the word vegan. Or you can have a hamburger, a real meat hamburger, and call it a vegan burger. No one can stop you from doing that. No one can stop you from putting keto on anything. There's no government regulation. Someone sent me a product the other day and said, this is certified keto. And I looked at it and went, well, what the fuck does that mean? No one's certified keto.
Is there a certification body?
No, exactly.
Like kosher? Yeah, okay, so kosher and keto?
I now, unfortunately, the smoothie bug had bitten this podcaster, and I said, I now want my smoothie. I want the fucking one I want. And it's sad to me that not only do they not offer the one I want, but I can't get them to make me the one I want, even though they have the ingredients back there. So Mike and Chris went off to the club to tech the club. And I walked to the Jamba Juice, and I walked into the Jamba Juice, and I said, I want a green smoothie. And everything started with apple or banana or berry or whatever. And I just said, look, here's what we're going to do. I just want the kale and the spinach and the lemon and just pulverize it. I'm just going to sit here and watch you. Now, it tasted horrible. I had to literally walk them through it and stand there while they did it. But eventually, I got my pulverized vegetables. Now, that's how difficult it is. And these are smoothie places. Like, hey, this is for the health conscious person. This is for the person who's on the diet. They're not going to eat the burger and fries. They're trying to lose some weight. They're going to the healthy alternative, which they think is a smoothie. And it's right up there with breakfast bars. There's really no such thing as a healthy smoothie, and there's no such thing as a healthy breakfast bar, save the one that's just made of 100% bison meat, or the smoothie, which is just pulverized lawn trimmings with some lemon zest in there. Is that an accurate statement, Vinny?
That is. As a matter of fact, I would put the breakfast bar as higher on the list of good things to eat over a smoothie. About 5 or 6 years ago, I did a man on the street where I went out to a Jamba Juice in L.A., and I was asking people what they were drinking on the way out, and in the video, I would put the sugar content. Some of these things had 65 and 70 grams of sugar in a 12 to 15 ounce, a 16-ounce cup of juice. That's like just pouring straight sugar in there, and every person walking out said, I thought I was doing the right thing. At least I'm getting, you know, they tell you you're getting vitamins. Well, yeah, you're getting some phytonutrients if you eat vegetables and fruit, but you're not eating, you're drinking a thing full of straight sugar. As a matter of fact, the people at Jamba Juice called the cops on me before it was all over with.
Well, to be fair, you were just wearing a conch shell out there and a choker. Maybe that's what they objected to. Maybe it wasn't the actual questioning. Look, the drink, the stuff that I'm holding up, which is, it's just called Pressed. It's a juicery. It's Pressed Juicery. Lynette goes out and buys a sort of smorgasbord of this stuff and has it sent to the house. It's all fresh pressed juice. They're all different combinations. The one she drinks has 250 calories in 12 ounces, and the one I drink has 50, because there's just no such thing as drinking the ones with the pineapple, the orange juice, the beets, the apple juice. I look at the back label. It's 250 calories. The same amount of Coca-Cola is a $1.40, right?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, and it's just Coca-Cola is all sugar and chemicals. At least you're getting something good. You're actually having something that's good for yourself in that. The one Lynette's having is equivalent to what Dawson, you know, that whole thing Dawson was doing a few years ago, where it's your liver is a meritocracy. It doesn't care what you're doing. Your liver's going to do what it's going to do. Lynette's putting sugar in and she'll get thinner. If you have the same smoothie, you're going to gain weight.
Right.
It doesn't mean that metabolically Lynette is healthier, because she can still get fatty liver disease. She can still get her A1Cs can go up to where she has type 2 diabetes and never gain a pound. You know, but so far she's stayed away from that, which is good.
Well, it's look, it's better that than drinking two Cokes, but don't kid yourself. Absolutely. When you look at the back of the label and it's 250 calories, it's coming from sugar. And look, it is the simplest lesson in all of life, which is her pressed juice tastes good. Mine tastes bad. August's smoothie tastes good. Mine tasted bad. The breakfast bar that tastes good is bad. It's sort of like, remember those workout machines where you'd put the belt around your waist and the thing would just vibrate while you stood there, and you looked at it and you went, well, that doesn't seem so bad. That's not like doing chin-ups with a weighted vest on, or running in sand, or doing push-ups.
I can handle this.
I could watch TV, drink a King smoothie or the Smoothie King offering, and shed the pounds. And so all of life, and I'm not just talking about as it pertains to diet. I'm just talking about life. You want to drink the smoothie. It tastes good. It's no good. You want to work out, except for you're not moving. It's just a belt that goes around your ass and shakes it vigorously. Seems easy. Not effective. Does nothing. There's a sad state that we can never work around, that's essentially gravity, which is that smoothie can't taste good. That workout can't be easy. There's a version of this that works. That's at play at work. It's at play at school. It's at play during sports. Like, it's just there. We built an entire world around trying to get around it, like trying to game it a little bit, seeing if we could slide around it. And we should all just lean into it. We should all just go, fuck it. This smoothie tastes like shit. It's good for me.
That's the one for me.
And there's something at a different level here. Like, I enjoyed the shit out of that smoothie, even though it was just pulverized kale and a bunch of lemon. And it didn't taste good at all, but it there was something different about it. I had done it. I had created it. It was good for me. So anyway, when I was thinking about Vinny on the ride in, I was thinking about these Smoothie Kings and just how goddamn difficult it is to go out there and do what's right.
Well, to Vinny's point about the name, there's no regulations with the naming of things, the naming conventions. If you were at Smoothie King, I'm obsessed with this menu. Adam, you might have been intrigued by the literally green. It's green. Veggie, lemon, ginger, spinach. That sounds like something you would, right. Some low carb, low sugar. The veggie, lemon, ginger, spinach, 80 grams of carbs. 80.
Right.
80.
Right. Well, there you go.
I think that's what we ordered. No, I remember it had greens, lemon, and ginger in the at the Smoothie King, but then it had a bunch of apples and pineapple in it.
Right.
They left that part out.
Yeah. Mango, pineapple, papaya,
right.
White grape.
Couldn't get
the holy trinity of no nos.
Yeah.
Tropical, horrible.
So there's really, sadly, there's nothing out there that tastes worth a damn. But there is a part of it where at a certain point you can enjoy it on a different level. It's not the kind of enjoyment that you're used to. It's a satisfactory kind of enjoyment, not an actual pleasure enjoyment. Vinny, what's your next big physical challenge? Are you training for anything?
Right now I'm training for life because of this COVID thing. I'm actually, and most people won't know what this is, but I've brought more equipment into my house. I now have a set of rollers for my bike. So I'm riding the bike here in the house, watching, the Lance Armstrong thing, as a matter of fact.
I literally just wrote down Lance Armstrong because I want to talk about that.
We can talk about that in a minute, too, because I have thoughts. I've watched the first episode, but I'm on the bike. I'm training. I'm going out. I'm hiking a lot. But we don't know when we could get on a plane again and go do anything. I've been kayaking a lot, so much that I've hurt my shoulder again, but I'm still planning on doing that bayou trip. I always just throw something in front of me, and I think everyone should do that. There's a lot of talk during this whole COVID thing of how everyone's going to magically get in shape, because the one thing they found is if you're morbidly obese, this could kill you. And everyone's talking about, finally getting into shape. I don't see that happening. And if it was, people say, well, how can you be so negative? It's like, no, I'm not negative. I'm pretty positive that it won't happen. It would happen while we have all this downtime. I don't want, usually people go, well, you don't understand. I work 16 hours a day. I work 12 hours a day. Well, hell, now you're not working at all. And everyone has a pair of feet and everyone has a sidewalk. You can just get out and start walking, and people aren't doing it. All I hear, I see it online every day. I'm getting fatter and fatter and fatter, and I've put on 20 pounds and 30 pounds. Well, if you were serious about getting into this, wouldn't right now be that time?
Well, our problem as humans is we don't want to start doing some things and quit doing others. That's where New Year's Eve kicks in. I always tell you, every guy who smoked, I just go, well, why don't you quit now? New Year's is coming up. I'll quit then. So that's what we do. We do it with starting things and stopping things. And like, I can't start now. I'm too emotionally depressed, or I'm too what have you. The Lance Armstrong thing is interesting. And I want to, so I really want everyone's sort of breakdown of this situation. I was trying to break it down with Jimmy and Cousin Sal yesterday. They have no sympathy for Lance Armstrong. And he's not a sympathetic character. But
no.
What I'm trying to say to everyone, it's kind of, to me, here's what it is. It's kind of like when somebody gets busted for, let's say, insider trading, you know, Martha Stewart. If my guy called me right now, if my tax guy, my investment guy called me right now and said, hey, you didn't hear it from me, but there's this stock is going to fold because the FDA has lifted the regulation or whatever. Do you want me to sell it? Who amongst us would go, sorry, that's wrong. I'm going to take the loss. I'm surprised that you even called me. Like, who amongst us wouldn't go, yeah, go ahead and do it. You know, like, dump
thank
it.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And then, so now you've done this thing that's wrong. And then later on, the feds come to you and they start questioning you. Hey, did you know about this stock dump before you blah, blah, blah? And you go, no, I didn't know. And they go, yeah, we're going to come back and question you more tomorrow. And now you really get your story straight. You know what I mean? Then later on, it turns out not only did you do this illegal stock dump, but you lied. And it's like, yeah, I know, because that's the way this was going to happen, you know? And so Lance Armstrong, who I don't know, I don't even know if I've ever met him, but I don't have, at cycling is not my sport, and I don't have a dog in the fight. But these other guys had gotten hold of a drug, and it was a game changer. It was changing the game.
Here's how it worked. You know, cycling, they've been cheating in the Tour de France since the first year of it, where people actually got off of their bike and got in carts and buggies and got advanced up the course. And that's the truth. So, but you can't look at that. What you have to look at is when it all started. Cyclists have been cheating from the beginning of time. But it was all legal. It would be like, you know, right now the NFL says we have a zero, you know, tolerance for drugs. Okay, but they're all taking steroids. Just look at them. You know, look at Lambert. Lambert was 6'4 and barely went 215. Now look at a middle linebacker today. They don't look like the same human being, right? They, you know, how did that happen? How did, you know, physical specimens come around? Well, they're all taking steroids. That's how they do it. Right. A big lineman back in Merlin Olsen days weighed 250. Now they weigh 350 and they're moving like a damn running back. How did that happen? It's drugs. Even though the league says there's a zero tolerance to drugs, they turned a blind eye to it because everyone's making big bucks. Cycling was the same way. Everybody was cheating, but no one said anything. And then there was something right before Lance, and I hope they go into it in this show. It was called the Festina Affair. The Festina Watch Company had a team, and that's back when they were actually blood doping with their own blood. Before EPO came out, before Amgen created that ether protein or whatever it's called, they would literally take the cyclist's own blood out while they were training. They would put it in a centrifuge machine, separate the white blood cells from the red blood cells, and then right before the race, put their own blood cells back in their body.
And that sounds like a big loophole. I mean, technically, it's not drugs.
Well, it's not drugs, but it would raise their hematocrit level way high. And of course, when you have more red blood cells, more oxygen to the system, and when the Krebs cycle works through, you are a stronger athlete. Mm-hmm. So the way they caught Festina was they found ice chests full of blood on the bus. And that's how they busted them. And then the team looked around and went, wait, why are you guys busting us? What's going on here? And cyclists still, after that, they looked at it and went, okay, that was just a one-off. Someone wanted to get to Festina. But then they started doing this with more and more people. But it would be like going to the NFL and say, hey, we're going to start randomly checking you guys. They would all go, what? What are you doing? We're all doing it.
Well, so hold on. They all did it. And then there was a next level kind of breakthrough. And if you didn't do it, you weren't competitive. I mean, that's it. You weren't competitive with those people. So you can say, well, so be it. Then don't be competitive or don't, or, I don't know what the answer is. You're no longer, you're being pushed out of your own profession. So then then they go, well, then go bust those guys that are doing it. But it's like, you're not the sanctioning body. I don't know how you enforce this thing that someone else is doing. So you have basically two choices. You can either quit or you can participate in what they're doing. And then, right, by the way, is it cheating if they're doing it as well? Later on,
right, there's no advantage because everyone's doing the same thing.
Right. So right. I think later on, all the lying and threatening of lawsuits and throwing other people under the bus, that's what caused a lot of the disdain for Lance Armstrong. But as far as the activity goes, is it cheating if everyone's cheating, I guess, is my question.
I don't think it's cheating if everyone's doing the same thing. And they all were. As a matter of fact, when they took Lance's yellow jerseys away, they couldn't even get it to the second place or third place guy because they were
they've all been busted too.
They had all been busted. It was just such a pig fuck. They didn't know where to go to get to their, they could have given it to the last place guy. And guess what? He probably had EPO in him also. So it's not cheating if everyone's doing it.
Adam, let me ask you this question then. One guy that you say you hate, and I hate too, I agree with you 100%, is the guy who says to his kid, hey, you screw that guy before he screws you. So right. This feels very similar to that in the sense like, hey, everyone else is doing it. I better get on top of this because otherwise I'm going to fall behind.
Well, hold on. I don't like that dad, and I don't like how you raise kids. But in this scenario, mm-hmm. that guy's already screwing you. So this notion of, you know, you screw him before he screws you, I don't agree with. If he's physically raping you, then you're allowed to screw him back. So Lance Armstrong notices he goes from the number one rider in the world to the middle of the pack. And how did that happen? So now he's being screwed. So now he's screwing back. That's the way I look at it. Anyway. I'm just saying it's an oversimplification to say he should have never done it. Well, if he never did it, we wouldn't know his name. I mean, quite honestly,
you're right.
It's all naive.
You know, it's a strange thing. I think the reason that the UCI started going after this as the governing body for cycling is for one reason and one reason only. When EPO first came out, these athletes were dying from it. And the reason they were dying, and dying left and right, in training and everything else, they were trying it out. If you take too much and you become dehydrated, your blood will thicken and it will stop your heart. Oh. So the young athletes were dying, and the head of the UCI says, we need to go check this out. We need to see what's going on. And then they said, look, if we could just ban this one thing because it's killing people. Well, this Dr. Ferrari, no association with the car company, he figured out, you don't have to take that much for it to work because you only need about a 1% advantage to win a race, right?
Well, and somebody in the doc said, you know, you take the Tour de France, it's 2,400 miles. You have a guy with just a couple percentage points difference over the course of 2,300 miles. The one guy finishes 200 miles ahead of the guy, yeah, with just a percentage, just a couple of, it's like automotive racing. The F1 guys, the guy who's sitting on the pole or the guy who's sitting in ninth place, 0.3 seconds a lap, you know, the track's 3 miles around, or 0.5, you know, half a second or whatever. It's minuscule at that level. When you get to that level of F1 or that level of cycling, 2 percentage points, and you clearly ahead of the guy in second place. Sorry, Vinny. Go ahead.
That's very true. I didn't get to that part. I only watched the first hour because I spent an hour on my rollers. But the one thing, you know, power to weight ratio matters on a bicycle. You have X amount of power. And for every pound you can lose, every pound of body weight you can lose, that, you know, your power to weight ratio goes way up. So that matters. Most of these guys are emaciated. I mean, you see cyclists, they're complete. Back when I was doing it competitively in mountain biking, hell, you've seen me. I would be down to 155 pounds, you know, and I played football at 225. That's a big discrepancy.
Yeah.
You know,
I'll tell you one thing I did learn about the world of cycling is all Lance's like former cycle mate teammates and guys who's, you know, contemporaries and stuff. They all look fit and young and hot. Like they are the they're the hottest dads you've ever seen. They're a bunch of 45-year-old guys that just look like models now. There's something about that cycling life that just dials
you
sinewy. All right, let me hit Geico here. Time for another great segment from our friends at Geico. Geico wants to thank their customers for giving back, and they're giving you a 15% credit on your car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Geico's committed for the long haul, so you get the 15%. It lasts the full length of the policy, the full term of the policy. Visit geico.com/giveback for info and eligibility. Let's get our answers. I'll give you some answers to your questions. You got a question, Kalen? You got an automotive question you want me to answer?
I do, yeah. The other day I went to go get you some gas for your car, and I asked you, okay, so you get the good stuff, right? The expensive stuff? And you said no, just the cheap stuff.
Yeah.
And now I read the manual for my car when I first got it, which is a 2018 Honda Civic Sport, and it says to use the expensive stuff. And your car is a lot nicer than mine, so
yeah.
Do I really need to be using the expensive stuff if you're not?
So here's the thing about gas. When all engines kind of work the same sort of before computers, then the higher octane stuff was just better. But now you don't need to exceed whatever the manufacturer wants. So if they say 87 is fine, then 87 is fine. Your car ends with the name Sport, so that's what you call a car that has high performance, or a kid who's ironically bad at sports, and you're explaining you'll get him next time, Sport. So if you have a car like one of my racing car, four cylinders, that thing takes 116 octane. If you have something like what I'm driving now, the Infiniti, all you need to do is get to what the manufacturer wants, which will usually be printed, I think, on the inside of the gas flap door. If they need 91 or 92, you have to go there. If you don't, you're just throwing money away. And even if it needs the high stuff and you give it the low stuff, the computer will adjust the timing and many other facets of the engine so that it doesn't ping and knock and damage the engine like it used to. It used to damage your engine with the low-grade stuff. So put the good stuff in your body in the form of a smoothie that tastes like ass. And as far as your car goes, you don't need to exceed what the manufacturer wants. And it's not going to hurt to put 92 octane in your car that requires 87 or 89 octane. You're just going to pay an extra 40 cents a gallon for no good reason at all. But thank you, Kalen.
Thank you.
And look at you reading a manual. All right. I want to thank Geico for that. Just thought these days you could use a little information. So, go to geico.com and save that 15%. They're giving you a credit. They're kicking it back to you at geico.com/giveback. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll come back with Vinny and the news right after this.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gino Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gino Grad.
The news with Gino Grad.
Well, I was going to tell you that President Trump is issuing an executive order relating to social media after he got in a little Twitter battle on Tuesday. But now I'm telling you that he has signed an executive order. This just came across my notifications 45 seconds ago. So he's threatening penalties against social media companies over allegations of bias against conservatives. This is from Business Insider. I'm just reading it right here off the screen here. So this comes after 2 days after Twitter added fact-checking links, which they've never done before, to two of Trump's tweets pushing false claims about voting by mail. Essentially, with the pandemic, everyone is supposed to get a you know, vote by mail ballot, and Trump says it's going to lead to all kinds of cheating and voter fraud, and we can't let it happen. And then they put a little link next to it, get the facts about this. So according to a leaked draft of the order, Trump is primarily seeking to empower federal regulations to amend. It's called Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act, which gives social media companies broad authority to moderate speech on their platforms. So Section 230 stipulates that tech companies are not responsible for comments and other content that users post on their platform. But Trump's orders call for tech companies to lose this section of protection if they do anything to discriminate against users, him, I guess in this case, or restrict their access to a platform without giving them a fair hearing or take other action.
Is anybody coming up with alternative platforms to Twitter, Google? I mean, not Google's platform, search engines, but I
Facebook.
Mean, the reality is, there's going to need to be some competition in that market space, and I don't know how it works. But is somebody thinking about this?
They exist, but you don't know their names, and
yeah,
you know,
they,
and
they haven't caught on.
Yeah, they're not mainstream, and there's probably someone coming for them. I mean, what was bigger than Friendster? What was bigger than MySpace? So I'm sure there'll be another generation, but we don't know their names yet.
Because I don't know. I'm not sure if you can ever really regulate anything fully and correctly. I just think there needs to, the things that kind of keep airlines in check is a bunch of airlines, you know, or right. The thing that kind of keeps the reason, you know, there's so much.
But airlines keep getting worse.
Well, they keep getting worse, but they're
getting, not falling out of the sky at an alarming rate.
They're getting cheaper. I mean, basically what they're doing is they're going. What they've figured out is the price is the bottom line. So people put up with no snacks and no drinks and tighter seats and whatever. If you can get from here to Austin for $89, that's the direction. They started going the other direction. They were going Concord, you know, faster, champagne, right, the pub and the 747. They've all thrown in the towel with that. And everything has just turned into who can safely but the least comfortably get people across the country, and that's what they're doing. But at some point, I just think there's going to have to be alternatives, and I don't know when that's coming. I really wish you know it's going to be something, right?
But what problem would that eventually solve? I mean, what's the difference? Because it'll just be another one.
I think right now, the conservatives think that Twitter and, you know, Facebook or Twitter and Google and whoever are YouTube or whatever are unjustly kind of putting their thumb on the scale and leaning it toward the left. And there's some evidence that that's going on to some degree. And I think the only thing I don't think you can argue it away or legislate it away because there's so much nuance to it. Like, who knows? But it's going on, and there's just going to have to be a competitor. I don't think you can. It'll take place, but the other one will lean the other direction. I think it's probably what's going to happen, and then people just go their own direction. Yes, sir.
That makes sense. But I'm just wondering, in terms of this particular case, Trump takes full advantage of free speech by accusing people of things, you know, calling people names, going after Joe Scarborough's, you know, dead assistant, and saying all these things that may or may not be true. And then he says something that may or may not be true about voting, you know, vote by mail. And they said, well, hold on, click this link. We're not taking down the tweet. We're just saying, click this link if you want us to fact check that. So he's taking full advantage of the free speech element.
I agree. I mean, look, he says insane. He shouldn't, you know, some of his tweets are insane. There's no doubt about it. We're getting into a danger zone to me is like you take this COVID thing. And, you know, a couple of months ago, if there were some doctors that were talking about opening it up and not doing the lockdown or hydroxychloroquine, somebody who was deciding that's irresponsible speech, we're going to take you down. That's when it gets into kind of a dangerous zone to me, because to me, it's an alternative point of view that we should hear and then kind of decide on our own what we believe or what is true. You know, at a certain point, you got to take care of your own kids. You have to make your own decisions. I want to hear the group of doctors that say, close it down. I want to hear the group of doctors that say, open it up.
Right.
All right.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, there's so much going on with this, with the George Floyd case and with the riots that, as we record this, were really going off last night, both here in Los Angeles, in Minneapolis, in, I believe, Tennessee. Protesters just filled the streets, especially in Minneapolis, for a second night to demand justice for George Floyd. He died in police custody after allegedly.
What was that cop doing? What? I get the, you know, there's a lot of this stuff that has kind of a context to it. Like there's a struggle. Right. They take the guy down. Once they take the guy down, the adrenaline is still flowing and the cops are, you know, like we showed you that old footage of the guy out here got pulled off a horse and all these cops came right. running up to him and were kicking him because they're in a feeding frenzy at right. that point. Right. They have the adrenaline. Or the guns out, they're yelling, and the guns out, they're yelling, and this is highly charged situation. When a guy's handcuffed and your knee is on his neck and you're starting to get into minute five, what's going on? I mean, I know your training is horrible. I know you're horrible, but I mean, like, what are the other three cops doing? What are the other three doing? I don't know all the official particulars, but the adrenaline should have been brought down, the heat of the moment. If the guy was struggling, he was struggling. He's now completely subdued. We're going to sit in perpetuity with my knee on his neck? Like, what are we waiting for? Are we waiting for a van to show up? Like, were they waiting on something?
Don't they handcuff him at some point?
He was handcuffed
during that.
I don't have the stomach to watch the video personally, but if he was subdued or, you know, not able to attack, then what's the point of having a knee on his neck?
And there was no, it doesn't seem that there's any evidence of struggle in terms of him not cooperating. In fact, the clip I did pull is the store owner who initially did call the police because George Floyd allegedly tried to pay for food with a fake $20 bill. The store owner, is talking to Don Lemon on CNN. He obviously, this guy didn't want that. He just called the police because somebody, you know, basically forged, you know, gave him fake money. But I want to make sure that this is the clip of that and not the actual knee on the neck.
I've seen there's some, I don't know how it works, but there's a chunk that's kind of missing. There's the part where they.
Yeah.
I don't know where that footage is. There's the part where they handcuffed him and sort of subdue him, and then it goes to the department.
Yes, and the department released it, and I use air quotes because I didn't know you could redact video. So you can, and what that means is there are two giant blocked out rectangles over people as they move in the video. So this heavily redacted video doesn't help at all. But it's interesting to see the perspective of the man who initially called the police.
Did you see resistance?
No.
On the videotape that you have, your surveillance video, you see no resistance from George Floyd.
Our camera angle shows exactly what was recorded as the outside bystander. What I seen was exactly what you seen.
Yeah, it's horrible. But the good news, I guess, is these guys are going to be prosecuted. I mean, big time.
Well, they have to. I mean, when you get notifications saying the police officers have been fired, like fired for murder? Okay, that's a new one. So, and even the mayor of Fry, Jacob Fry, is asking, why are there no charges being filed? So it's being investigated. People are obviously angry. Downtown LA, that's what we spent most of our night on Conway last night, because there was hundreds of protesters. They made their way onto the freeway downtown on the 101 and, I mean, blocked traffic down to, you know, God knows where, probably, you know, Orange County. Because they were, and I don't know if you saw the footage, they all started chasing this police cruiser. This isn't it, but this is just some of the looting in Minnesota.
Yeah, I saw it.
And threw a skateboard through the windshield.
Yeah. You know, I always have these horrible semi-racist and sort of macabre thoughts as I watch. But when I was watching all the protests going on in Minnesota, first thing I thought was, do they got enough black people over there to like fully pull this off? And then I realized 3/4 of the people protesting were white in Minnesota, which I guess we call that progress, right? Because if you took a look at like Ferguson, Missouri, and we had all the news cameras out there and everyone was out of the street, it was, if it wasn't 100% black, it was 96% black in the whole Ferguson thing. Minnesota, that could have been a 50-50 draw there.
Chris can verify this, but I think Minnesota has a huge Somali population. Mm-hmm. I think that's where they did their casting call for the Pirates in Captain Phillips.
That is,
you know, I am the captain now. I think that's what actually did the casting call, because there were so many native Africans.
Yeah, when I went to meet up with you guys in Indianapolis, or where I had a layover in Minneapolis Airport, it was all Somalian workers there. Everybody.
Oh,
there you go.
It's not to say that the protesters are Somali, but there is that.
They better be.
Well, I think I would assume they have all kinds of statistics about Africa, you know, black Americans from Africa and American blacks being quite different. So I would imagine there's probably less Somali blacks that are out protesting. But I'll tell you, white chicks had picked up the slack in Minnesota, because when I was looking at all the cops and the tear gas canisters and all the stuff they normally do, a lot of white like skater dudes and chicks, white chicks in the mix as well.
Yep.
All right, sorry.
Well, there may be more rioting. It may be over. We don't know yet in terms of, you know, what's going to take place tonight. But obviously
stay off the fucking freeway, would you? For the love of fucking Christ. I get it. You're pissed. But there's a couple things. Don't block the fucking freeway. You're not going to win over the hearts and minds of America if you stop us from getting to work or getting home from work or whatever that is. Number one, leave the fucking freeway alone. Number two, you know, jumping on cop car hoods and busting windows and stuff, you're liable to get more death that way. And just go ahead and protest. But the problem is burning down Targets and
AutoZones.
You're not winning over any fans. You want people. Here's the thing. America agrees with you. We agree that cop was evil and a murderer, and we need to weed those guys out of the system. And so we do fundamentally agree with that as Americans. But if you burn down an AutoZone, now we're torn, because now we disagree with what the cop did and we disagree with how you're expressing yourself. Thank you. All right. Can you find any footage, Max Zapata, of the Minnesota riots going on in there? And again, you're going to see a lot of...
We have it.
A lot of pale Kaylin faces over there. Oh, okay. All right.
I mean, but a lot of it was the fire, so we'll see if there,
no,
we can get
this,
one.
This is kind of daytime. The footage I saw was daytime. Cops were up on the roof of a building. They were using their,
I think I know what you're talking
their
about.
Bikes as barricades. The protesters, there's like just a lot of white dudes out there just getting it on.
Yeah, they were standing, it looked like the cops were guarding a bank. It looked like they were all standing in front of a bank, and that's where everyone was screaming at them. So, Chris, that may help. And it was tagged, like they tagged FU.
I have a few in mind as well. I'll pull them up in a sec.
All right.
Well, while he's doing that, some sad news for all you space freaks. Elon Musk's company was set Wednesday afternoon to launch the Dragon capsule, which is a crucial test mission that will send NASA astronauts Bob Behnken and Doug Hurley to the International Space Station. We haven't done it from the United States in almost a decade, but the weather didn't cooperate, so they had to scrap it. It was the crew Dragon's planned liftoff. They scrapped it less than 20 minutes left in the countdown. The next available launch opportunity is Saturday at 3:22 p.m. Eastern. That's and people go, well, why wouldn't you just pick a time when the weather's better? Because they have to make sure that the space station is in the exact desired place for the launch. So that's why they can't just wait till a sunnier day. The calculations were, if we do this and we do this now, we'll shoot them straight to the space station. So they can try it again on Saturday, and hopefully they'll be able to do it.
It's incredible how much we still rely on weather in the space age. So we're shooting a rocket to made up with the space station. I mean, the most technically, you know, stuff if you talked about this shit in the '50s, people's heads would have exploded, but we still need the weather. And the
thing we're shooting past the weather.
The thing that brought down the, I think the Challenger was the O-ring and the weather, the temperature. It was too cold to launch, and in Florida of all places, but it was cold the night before, and we should have scrapped the launch. And I don't know if it was the Challenger or the Endeavor, the one that had the O-ring, the one that had the O-ring problem. So the O-rings, which need Challenger, the O-rings need to be flexible. And once it gets under like 38 degrees or something like that, they get hard and they're not flexible. And that's what caused the catastrophic failure. But it was the weather. It was them saying, you know, of course, someone said, it's too cold, isn't it? And then someone said, we're go. Like, this is on. Mm-hmm. And they launched anyway. And the O-ring, I think, which was also a flaw in the design, which it couldn't handle the weather. But they knew it was too cold to launch. And that's what brought it down. And Max Patek can make sure my bits and pieces are right. But,
You're right. They were made at Martin Marietta in New Orleans, Louisiana, those O-rings.
Well, there you go.
That is a big problem.
So it's weird that here we are in the space age, but weather is still a big deal. Like we're farmers from 500 years ago.
So
I was just going to say it wasn't a lightning storm monsoon. It was a couple of raindrops that spelled, you know, a possible problem.
It was not
just weather, but just a couple of drops.
And this wasn't even that. It was just like, well, it's a little colder than it normally is this time of year. Should have waited. Sorry, go ahead, Brian.
I'll add to that story because I remember Freakonomics did an episode on the Challenger disaster and how the series of mistakes, blah, 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 led to the disaster. The guy whose job it was to sign off on everything being okay knew that the thing was too cold, and he didn't sign off. And, you know, it was obviously the best decision of his life. His life would have been completely ruined if he had signed off on that.
Right. All right. Anything, Max?
Because once you get out into space, isn't it butt fucking cold anyway? I mean,
that's the technical term, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how it works. I think it's from going to cold to fire, and it's just during the launch they need that flexibility, or they probably jettison the launch, whatever, and they don't need the O-rings. And once they get into space, I think that's what's it. Max Pat, are we right about this?
I'm still looking. Sorry.
Okay. All right. Next story.
Well, casinos are set to reopen in Nevada on June 4th, but they're going to look very different than what you're used to. According to CNN, detailed housekeeping checklists, half-empty casinos, of course, reservation-only dining. These will be some of the things that will be different. Of course, no shows, no nightclubs, no sporting events. Like much of the country, the city effectively was shut down to visitors in mid-March. It's been more than 70 days, I think, closed resorts, and they're carefully reopening with face masks and sanitizing stations and social distancing. But again, it's going to have that ghost town feel once it gets back up and running.
Speaking of sports wagering, somebody's got to bring back bum fights, because we now have more bums.
I think I get arrested.
Yeah, but think how many more bums we have now, and there's nothing else to gamble on. Everything else is closed down. This would be the salad days for bum fights. Something they could put it up on the big screen at Caesars. We could all socially distance while betting on bums. That guy had started bum fights when we barely had bums.
He was ahead of his time.
He was way ahead of his time. Yeah, and that guy, I think, did go to prison at some point. All right. Well, maybe we'll find the Whitey riding in Minneapolis, or I'll take the Challenger story, whichever one you like.
We were looking for the Minneapolis riots first, so that's so Kaylin will put that up. But there's been a lot more videos posted as well, but this is some of it.
I'm just saying the last ones I was watching was Ferguson, and the demographic looked quite a bit different. So I don't know. Maybe this is a unifying.
Yeah. Well, I also saw a video of like these two guys with guns outside of like a tobacco shop, and they said, "We're guarding the tobacco shop. We support the protest. We don't support the looting. So we just want to let everybody know we support the protest."
Those guys were definitely white.
Yeah, they were white. Yeah, very, very white. Yes.
All right. Well, we don't even need to see it. We get it. That's fine. All right. What else you got, Gina Grad?
Well, fans of the Miami Dolphins are going to get a chance to drive their cars right onto the field at Hard Rock Stadium and relive some of the best moments of the team's history. I mean, they're not using the stadium, so this is sort of a creative solution. The Dolphins announced they're turning the stadium into a giant drive-in movie theater, but not just for movies. The team said they can accommodate 230 cars on the field and plan to host screenings of movies, concerts, and replay some of the biggest games in franchise history.
Ooh, Ace Ventura.
That's right.
Back when the Dolphin was at the game, they would have the Dolphin in the tank at
the tank.
Game. Right.
That's right. They'll be able to order food and drinks online. They'll be delivered to the car. This sounds like a fun situation.
They're getting
creative. Mm-hmm.
You know, it struck me, like when I was growing up, you could do whatever you wanted to a dolphin or a killer whale or a kid. We had really no rules. Wow. If you wanted to fuck around, you said, look, take that dolphin, put it in that tank that's 4 foot deep and put it in the end zone over there. And let Bob Greasy like give it a high, put a helmet on it, put a helmet on the dolphin and let Bob Greasy give it like a high flipper as he goes by. We could do that. You could do anything you wanted to a kid. You could smoke in front of them. You could smack other people's kids.
No seatbelts.
You didn't dare touch alligators or crocodiles. And now
that's
it's completely flipped.
Yes, you're right. It's game on with alligators and game off with porpoises. I don't know. Call me old fashioned, but I, as a dad, I've been looking forward to yelling at other people's kids. Like I got yelled at by other people's parents when I was a kid. Oh, you have the O-ring story, Max Pena?
Yeah. So yeah, you're right. So the Challenger, to make each solid rocket booster, they put these O-rings in between each fuel segment because each fuel segment, whole segment was filled with powdered aluminum and an oxidizer. And at the launch site, they were assembled vertically, but the O-rings were never tested in extreme cold. So on the morning of the launch, the cold rubber became stiff. It failed to fully seal the joint. And when the shuttle ascended, one of the seals on a booster rocket opened just enough to allow a plume of exhaust to leak out. And the hot gases bathed the hull of the cold external tank full of liquid oxygen and hydrogen until the tank ruptured and exploded.
And that's what you can see in the film. And was it in the high 30s or low 40s? But either way, it's literally just a couple degrees. If it had been a mild morning versus a cold snap, was probably colder than usual because they wouldn't have scheduled it if it was that temperature. You know, it was probably usually 50 degrees, and this time it was 38 degrees, and they went ahead with it. But it's always nothing. It's a few degrees this way or that way.
The coldest temperature of a previous launch was 20 degrees warmer than what it was.
It was just too cold. Nature, weather, that giant man-made piece, that monstrosity, that piece of technology, that thing that was basically the most technologically advanced thing on the planet that human beings had created from the beginning of our existence to then, was the space shuttle, was that thing. And it was taken down because it was a couple degrees colder than usual. That's Mother Nature, man. She's a bitch.
You're telling me. I mean, look, everything about Mother Nature is a bitch. Look what's going on in the world right now. It's no different. You know, we go through all of this stuff. We have modern society. We get one little bug, and it decimates everyone's economy. It's really no different. Mother Nature just comes in and wrecks everything.
All right, that's why we got to kill her. Gina Grad, let's wrap it up. Bring us out of here.
You got it. Sure. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Gina Grad.
That was the news with Gina Grad.
Fat, a documentary. I highly recommend it. Watch it with your family. You're going to learn so much about what to do and also what not to do. It's streaming on Amazon Prime Video right now. It's also available on Blu-ray, DVD, and on demand as well. And purevitaminclub.com, now more than ever. Boy, I take it every morning. Purecoffeeclub.com as well. That's another morning ritual. Vinny, thanks for joining and hanging as per usual.
Thank you for having me. And I just want to tell you, it's 1 year since we had that incredible birthday steak eating thing last year with you and just the guys. I still talk about that. I wish more guys can get together like that and do what we did.
Well,
so happy to you. And hopefully we can do that again really soon.
I agree. Judd Apatow is coming up next for a little one-on-one, and we'll take a break. We'll be right back with Judd right after this.